this first slide that you see, responses to COVID, I thought it was only interesting to see the amounts of money that were involved. I mean, you sort of lose track when all this is going on as to how much money Congress was approving for these kinds of things. And so I always find it interesting to look at a slide and see how much was done. So there's a lot in see here, some of which we're going to talk about as we move forward, because some of this stuff will be expiring, but I wanted you to see this more for you to all have. What's going to come next? Where are we at? What are we looking at? You see here, President Biden issued a lot of his plans. He has two different plans for recovery, as well as the American Family Plan. It includes, you know, $3 trillion of revenue offsets. There's been counter proposals. There is real concern in Congress about inflation. Larry Summers wrote a piece, and a lot of the members actually are concerned about inflation, and Chairman Powell today talked about it at the end of the Fed meeting. And so that's something that's on members' minds also as to regarding how big this next package should be. But that's out there. From a stimulus standpoint, you know, for Democrats want to do infrastructure, green energy, climate change, invest in innovation. We'll talk about how this all comes into play in a little bit off these slides. But at least I wanted to give you a very broad overview of what we're going to be discussing. Budget reconciliation. Budget reconciliation, I only have these next two slides in because it is going to be the method by which any major legislation will pass over the next year or two. I fully expect there to be this to be the only way legislation should happen. And oh by the way, I'm digressing here, but I forgot to mention, if you have questions as we move through, because I, for those of you who have heard me before, I talk rather fast. I go through a lot of topics. And if you have chat questions, please put type them in as you think of them. I'll try to answer them as we go versus all at the end. So if you have questions and you want to raise them, go ahead and put them in the chat function and we'll try to address them as we go. I'll try to pick them up as we go. Okay, going back, reconciliation. It's going to be the way most major legislation will get done in the next year or two. Since 1980, we've done 21 reconciliation bills that have become law. So basically, in a little over 40 years, about half the legislation that have been through this area have been put into law. You see the examples there, the tax reform, health reform, the Bush tax cuts, Clinton's welfare reform, you know, so all these kinds of bills were done through budget reconciliation. So usually it is a rather large bill that gets done through reconciliation. And I gave you some of the rules here and why they use reconciliation, more for if you were just writing up a real quick memo for someone, you could pull from these slides if you wanted to, because it is going to be the way that tax and spending are going to get done. I have the next slide here that deals with points of order and potential barriers for a bill. The only really thing I wanted to point out to you here that's important as we move forward is there's something called a Byrd rule. And the Byrd rule was put in by Senator Harry Byrd to limit how reconciliation could be done. Because it overrides the filibuster rules, he wanted to limit how reconciliation could be used. And so he put in certain rules to make sure they had a major budget impact because he was chairman of the budget committee at the time when he did this and ultimately was the leader of the Senate. And so he has several rules, and you see them there, that they have six different things that are basically rules for reconciliation. Middle of the slide, the provision has no fiscal effect. So if the provision doesn't score, or even a subset of a provision doesn't score, it's out. They have to comply with committee instructions. That's not a big deal. They can't be outside the committee jurisdiction. Again, these bills are so big, they're in everybody's jurisdiction. The fiscal impact cannot be merely incidental to the policy. I'll give you an example. The best example is if you were going to enact some limitations on abortion, and you put some user fee on through healthcare related to that, that would score a very de minimis amount of money. But the policy of abortion is so politically charged, that's not appropriate for reconciliation. Another thing that was deemed not appropriate likely for reconciliation is like a minimum wage rule. There's a lot of discussion this year that we would try to enact a minimum wage of $15. And the thought was that that does not deserving to go in reconciliation because it's too big of a policy issue. So that's there. And then the last one, the last two are provision can't increase the deficit in any fiscal year beyond fiscal years covered by the resolution. We normally enact 10-year budget resolutions. So they cover a 10-year period. And that's where you lay out the groundwork of what's going to be in a reconciliation bill. Thus, a reconciliation bill cannot lose money beyond that 10-year window of the budget resolution. Sounds crazy. You can lose all the money you want in the first 10 years. But if you go to year 11, that can't lose money. It has to be